Hey, and welcome to the David Palmer Presidential Library Podcast, the DPPL. And this is your host, Chris Lorenz. And to my left is
Harrison Hoffman.
And to my right is
Robert Kitts.
Sorry, this is a little late, but one of our co-hosts here was not in the city, so he's here today. So
that kind of sounded like a question when you said that.
I mean, it's always a question. Sometimes.
I like hearing that Chris is now the host of the podcast.
I'm the host now.
You really asserted yourself there in the intro. I don't know what happened.
Sometimes you gotta.
Chris is taking over.
I'm trying to set the pace, okay? All right, well, this episode was pretty crazy. Lots of stuff happening.
Kind of the opposite of last week.
Yeah, last week was setting this week up hardcore. There wasn't really much going on last week. And this week's drink of the week is Dark and Stormy, because we knew there was a storm coming for this week. So
Jack was storming the embassy.
Yeah.
And we also had some dark revelations from Chloe last week, so it worked on both levels.
We had one while we were actually watching the episode, and we're on round two right now. Rob made this second one real strong, so it's pretty good.
You're welcome, Harrison. You want to explain that is, Rob?
Explain the Dark and Stormy?
Yeah,
it's just you have some ginger beer and some rum. You're supposed to go more ginger beer than rum, but that's more of a recommendation than a rule. You can also add some lime, and you should add plenty of ice as well.
All right,
so let's get right into this. And it starts out pretty strong with Jack just breaking into this embassy and then him, like, just taking down a guard and stealing his coat and his badge.
Jack's thrown down a lot of non-lethal blows in this episode. Lot of pistol whipping, a lot of that kind of stuff going on in this episode.
You mix it up, though. There was the pistol whipping, there was the chokehold, there was the bullet directly into the vest.
Oh, man.
There was also, like, a lot of people just not noticing who the hell he is. Like, 8 years, he's just crazy, just doing all this shit all over TV, and then they just forget about him. Like, it's not like...
I'm not sure that Jack's really, like, a TV star in this world. He's kind of like a
I mean,
like a
but he's a known
agent.
Terrorist, right?
He's a terrorist. I'm not, like, it's kind of unclear whether or not he's on, you know, wanted lists and things like that, but, I mean, the government, you know, definitely classifies him as a terrorist, but, like... Throughout all of his exploits, I'm not sure that he's actually super well known in the general population, though.
Though if the government has their act together, he should be like number one on their most wanted list, because if they think he's a dangerous terrorist, he's the most dangerous terrorist.
Yeah, I guess, but does the government actually want to catch him, or is it just kind of, you know, hey, we're going to have to designate him a terrorist because we just kind of have to, but we're just going to kind of look the other way when he runs away?
That's a good question. I got the feeling that when President Taylor branded him a terrorist, that was the plan. But it seems like now that President Taylor came in, he's, like, changed the stakes, and, like, Jack is actually considered a real terrorist now. But maybe that's just the framing of the show, just raise the stakes. That's not actually what's going on.
Right, yeah.
Well, and then he goes in, and he gets into Tanner, right?
That's
like,
right.
Immediately.
So easily.
Like, it was just like, well, I got this jacket, and I got this car.
He, like, knew where he was, where Tanner was. I guess he kind of had Chloe and the WikiLeaks crew helping him navigate, but knew right where he was, no one guarding the door, just rolled right up in that thing.
Yeah. It's like these super hackers, too. Like, they don't need any time to hack into, like, any system. Like, just like, oh, well, I got this super tool, and he's just like, now I've got video feed.
I think if they really thought Tanner had, like, attacked U.S. and U.K. troops with a drone, they'd have, like, three guards in the room and, like, six guards inside the room watching it. But no, they just had, like, no one outside and just one guy in the room watching them.
And one pretty careless guard. You know, some dude just busts in that room, like, unannounced, and this dude just turns his back on him immediately, turns his back on Jack Bauer immediately for a phone call, and obviously just gets hit in the back of the dome and just is out. It's,
Yeah.
It's pretty careless.
It happened. This is going to happen.
I mean, I'm not really sure how that happens. I feel like you're kind of trained to not turn your back on a random intruder.
You kind of trusted Jack's story. And he's like, I'm going to answer the phone, and the phone's going to clear this right up.
Well, but like, if that was the case, then Jack would just be like, hey, pick up that phone. That's going to verify my story. Not like, if you pick up that phone, I'm going to slit your throat, which is like the look that Jack was kind of giving that guy.
That was definitely the look he was giving him.
Yeah. And then, like, Jack, like, leaves, like, almost immediately. Does nothing with Tanner. He's just like, I believe you, man. You're going to be fine. I'm just going to take all the evidence with me and leave you here. It'll be all right.
I mean, Tanner definitely told him where the flake he was, but I mean, that guy's handcuffed. He's not going anywhere. Like, he's not really.
Although, like, Jack was like, trust me, just give me all the evidence that exonerates you, and then I'm just going to leave. But it's going to be totally fine. Don't worry about it.
Like, Jack could very easily have been somebody with that terrorist group who's just coming in to collect, you know, the last of the evidence that could link, you know, the terrorist group to this thing. And I guess that he just believed that Jack wasn't a terrorist.
I guess Jack looked in his eyes.
It was the eyes.
He saw the eyes of Jack Bauer and was like, I'm just going to tell you all everything right now.
It was those baby blue Jack Bauer eyes.
I still don't understand why, like, they don't have that phone conversation. Like, how do they not record that? Because, like, that exonerates him for sure. Like, he's just like, oh, my God, get out of there. Oh, I can't control my drone. And, like, he's doing, I mean, it doesn't really exonerate him too much, but like.
Right, but here's the thing. You know, if you know that you're going to pull this move with the drone and kill these people, and that your cover story is going to be that somebody hacked your drone and it got messed up, wouldn't you be yelling stuff like, uh-oh, someone's taking over my drone. I can't do anything. Uh-oh, people got killed, like, when you're
in
the room?
Yeah, but they had time to get out of the way, and they just didn't.
I guess that's true. He was kind of.
They had like a good couple minutes, and they like. Just
they didn't have a couple of minutes. They had like 15 seconds.
I think my favorite part about this episode of our podcast is that, like, before we were kind of vowing to make this one a really short one, and now we're just rehashing like every episode of the season and analyzing old scenes.
I'm just confused.
Let's go back to season 3 for a minute and talk about. So anyway, after Jack gets the flight key from Lieutenant Tanner, he then. Tries to escape the building, but they get smart enough to lock down the building so his key card doesn't work. But then he somehow, like, through osmosis, figures out he can go to, like, the magic room that can always transmit out under all circumstances.
So we saw some Ethernet cables kind of zip-tied to the ceiling. He's like, maybe I can get in that communications room. Like, they kind of made that little connection.
Though later they're like, there was no way to cut the communication. And, like, they couldn't cut those
Ethernet
cables.
Except for cutting those cables,
so, like,
yeah.
Those are different Ethernet cables, but he just made the connection anyway? Is that the idea?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay.
I mean, I was under the impression he was following those Ethernet cables to the comm room.
No, I think he actually asked Chloe where the comm room was after he saw
them. Yeah.
So I guess the Ethernet cables just jogged something in his mind about, like, oh, every embassy must have the secret magic room. I'm just going to go there.
Totally. I mean, I feel like Jack knows a few things about embassies.
Jack knows his way around an embassy. That is true.
So while he's in the room, he, like, barricades himself in, and he's trying to upload the
with data. Hostages.
With hostages.
The hostages was key to the whole thing.
Well, clearly. I mean,
Jack knows his way around a hostage situation as well as an embassy.
On many different levels.
Yeah.
He
has played both sides of the ball in hostage situations. So essentially, you know, he takes a bunch of these hostages and he, you know, puts on this whole show for the Marines, you know, shoots a couple of the Marines in their flak jackets so that they don't, you know, get killed or whatever. And the kind of head of the Marines calls him on the phone, and Jack kind of immediately, like, goes into, you know, I know exactly what to say to this guy so that he won't go in. So he's like 100% serious, like, it's like, here's what I'm doing. If you come in here, I'm going to kill all these people. If you don't come in here, I won't do that. End of discussion. It hangs up the phone. So he knows exactly how to handle a hostage kind of situation.
Yeah, Jack definitely played that perfectly so that the guy's like, well, I guess we got to talk to the president now.
Exactly.
I don't know if you really escalate right to the president after that.
When,
I mean, I understand.
Jack Bauer's involved, yeah. You escalate right to the president.
I understand what happened in the show. I just don't think the president, like, is the next on call on that one. Like, it's not like, oh, the president, Jack Bauer, there's a terrorist here. What should we do? Should we let
Here's what I don't understand. So I guess that they needed the president's go ahead in order to breach that room and kill Jack Bauer. But I thought that they already had the go ahead when whatever douche
Mark,
chief of staff guy, had, like, forged the president's signature on that document.
Well, that was just to hand him over to the Russians. It wasn't to kill him. Maybe that's a technicality.
Oh, I guess that maybe you actually need verbal confirmation from the president, not signature confirmation to do that.
Also, like, I'm not an expert on, like, military, like, chain of command and stuff, but, like, that might have been, like, a Department of State thing to, like, legally, diplomatically hand him over. But then when you have Marines who are going to shoot someone, it's a different, like, different path you have to go through.
Sure, that could definitely be the case.
Okay.
I feel like we need an expert on presidential orders in this podcast so we can get all these questions
maybe
answered.
Maybe we'll have a guest next week who can just be like our presidential constitutional expert who just answers all our questions.
So if any of our listeners are constitutional scholars, experts in kind of government and military affairs, let us know in the comments so you can be a guest next week.
Always looking for more guests. We can call you up.
More guests isn't a guest.
We need more guests.
We have not had any guests yet.
Well, just because we didn't have a guest doesn't mean we need more. Don't need more guests.
I guess that's technically true.
So
speaking of the president, should we talk about the president who was? We didn't see him for a while, and just apparently his speech to the parliament went on a real long time.
It's actually really interesting because in the end of the last episode, we kind of leave the president, and he's kind of in trouble in his speech to the parliament. Like, people are heckling him, and, like, he's kind of in trouble. And we don't really see how he turns it around. Like, we just kind of cut back to him, you know, 20 to 30 minutes later, and it seems like he's giving, like, an amazing speech. So we're not really sure how he turned that around, because he was getting heckled pretty good.
I guess the way I might spin it is that we were kind of saying last week that we were kind of tired of the president storyline, even though we talked about it forever. And so Maybe they like did us a solid and be like, we're not going to show you how he turns it around. We're just going to like leave you enough info to know that, okay, the president killed it. Everything's great. Let's move on to something else.
Believe me, I am pumped that they didn't spend more time on that president story this week. Like, I feel really good about that.
I feel like it's just a writer's crutch. I don't think they could have come up with a great speech. So they're just like, oh, it was great. Oh, everyone loves him now.
Are you hating on the writers of 24, Chris? Do you think they're not top-notch writers?
They're going to be upset when they hear this podcast.
I mean, they could be. I'm just saying that, like, I don't think they could have written something that we would have been like, oh, buddy, he's poorly pulling people around. I think they just, like, use it like, oh, well, he was doing bad, and now he's doing good. Oh, look. Oh.
Actually, I just checked. One of the writers just tweeted, and he is furious with you right now. He is
upset. You better watch out.
Oh, no. I'll have to sleep with the one I
open. Better enjoy this dark and stormy. It might be your last.
So, you know, the president kind of turns it around, and, you know, he's kind of made aware that Jack Bauer's back in play for the first time. And, you know, he's not as upset with his chief of staff as I'd like him to be, really. It seems like if I was him, I would be upset that he hadn't clued me in earlier. And, like, Audrey's upset, but the president seems to not really care that he wasn't made aware of the Jack Bauer situation earlier.
Though Mark didn't really explain everything that he'd been doing while that was going on. Well, he was just like, I kind of heard about this, and I was trying to find out more about what was going on. He didn't go like, yeah, I've been signing your signature on some documents while this was happening just to sort of see what was going on.
BT dubs, I issued a presidential order and forged your signature.
I was actually surprised Mark was just like, yeah, there's a hot situation. Yeah, it's Jack Bauer. Like, I thought Mark was going to try to, like, keep it covered up as long as he possibly could, but I guess he sort of realized
kind of
there was no way out of that at that point.
I mean, when it is, like, broad knowledge that Jack Bauer has stormed a U.S. embassy, I don't think you're going to be able to keep that from the president.
Yeah, he definitely, I would have hoped for him to try to keep it going, like, oh, it's some guy, we don't really know who it is right now, I don't know what's going on.
It seems like that didn't happen. It seems like at this point there have been no repercussions for that forgery either. Like, I would assume that will probably be discovered later on, but, like, right now, it doesn't really seem to be impacting him.
I mean, who knows? The writers may have just, like, lofted off. And
It wouldn't be the first time 24 had a plot line that we're like, oh, that's going to pay off later, and then it just never heard from it again. But right now I'm going to say that we're going to hear from that signature again.
I mean, there's only 12 episodes this season, so, like, there's, like, they know what's happening. I'd be really surprised if that doesn't come into a play, especially now that he's, like, in custody.
And especially now that Mark is all like, oh, Audrey, your personal feelings getting in the way of this. Because, like, we know where this is headed.
When Audrey, like, her reaction when she finds out that Jack is alive, like you know it's on, like, you know, Jack is about to take her to Pound Town in, like, 3 to 4 episodes. Like, that shit is happening. And
there's a lot of zoom-ins on the nose there. There's a lot of zoom-ins
on Audrey. Is that going to happen, like, during the season, or is that just going to be implied for off-season?
I feel like they have to meet this season. Like you know that's happening this season. Like, it has to.
Well, it's one thing to say they meet this season. It's like you say they're going to Pound Town this season. So,
I mean, admit, like, you know, I mean, the whole Pound Town situation is a little bit more complicated given the fact that they're married.
They did say they were going to skip some hours, right? So, like, that can be implied in the skipping of some hours.
So they'll skip some hours, and then suddenly, like, Jack and Audrey will just be in a hotel room together and be like, oh, and man.
And then Nose will be pregnant, and then it'll be...
What?
Jack's going to walk out of that hotel, you know, bathroom, you know, in a towel. It's all steamy, like that kind of situation.
Yeah.
Probably.
I'm also going to refer to her as the Nose from
the Nose? That's super mean.
As long as I can keep calling Margot Cat Stark, I'm down with that.
All right.
I'm sure we'll interplay.
I guess speaking of getting down with people and Margot, we should talk about what was going on over at Family Terror HQ.
House Stark? Yeah.
House Stark.
Okay.
I feel Chris is going to get angry at us if we call it House Stark.
No, it's fine. You can call it House Stark and just Margot and... What are the other people's names? I don't even know.
Naveed and...
Simone.
And the nameless son.
He has a name. We'll just call him Rob Stark. It's okay.
Rob Stark. Fine.
Yeah, so it's revealed that Naveed wants to leave and bring Sansa with her.
He is not down with this whole let's just kill a bunch of people kind of situation. So he's having second thoughts, and he kind of reveals he has a plan to escape this stronghold. I guess that Margo kind of has this whole house locked down, so if people have second thoughts, there's no kind of option to leave. But he's kind of orchestrated this plan, and it seems like Simone's bought into it, but she like immediately betrays him and tells her mom about this plan, which in a couple seconds turns out to be a bad call for her to have told anybody about this plan.
I actually thought like Margo was going to try to test Simone and be like, see if Simone would tell her the truth, but it was pretty quick. Margo was just like, what do you have to tell me? And Simone's like, oh, well, Naveen wants to betray you. That's what's going on.
Right. Well, it seemed like there was a test and she just immediately passed. Like there was no doubt that Simone was just going to tell her about that.
Yeah. I mean, I get with you that it was like supposed to be like a test because she saw and heard, but like it didn't seem that way. It was just kind of like, I'm reading your expression. What do you need to tell me?
How does everyone not know that there's cameras and shit like all over this house? Like she's just chilling in some room of the house watching these cameras. Like don't people go to that room and it's like, hey, what's those screens about? Why is that in the bedroom?
I don't know. Maybe Margo's like, I don't want you to go in my room. I got some stuff going on in there. Just leave it alone. And like, given what we're about to see, like how Margo holds control, everyone's like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to stay out of that room.
Yeah.
I'm not
sure,
gonna,
sure, sure.
No,
sure.
No one goes into Margo's room. Okay.
And it's like, fair. It's not clear if Margo just looked into her eyes and knew what was going on, or if Margo like saw the video and already knew what was going on. And
someone's
like, okay, I'm just going to tell you what you already know.
She 100% saw that video.
I mean,
because she was watching while... Well, those people were having sex. I was going to say Pound Town, but we can reserve that. Bone
Simone
Zone.
Pound
Bone
Town.
Zone, maybe.
I mean, I don't think there's going to be many Bone Zones. There's like, after, you know, they take control of the drones, there's going to be no more Naveed, okay?
Drone Bone Zone? Is it
Drone
is
Bone Zone.
We got a triple rhyme going on?
Oh, maybe. Man. The Drone Bone Zone is done once the drones have been used.
Yeah, no.
Well, no. So Simone was a little naive because she was all like, oh, yeah, once we just help my mom kill hundreds of thousands of people / millions of people, she's going to let us go do whatever we want. And we're going to like go to Disneyland and like just like travel the world.
Yeah, we won't be on any terrorist lists. We'll be fine.
Yeah, not at all. But like that Naveed guy is like dead man walking. Like as soon as he pilots those drones, like he's donezo.
Yeah, no more Drone Bone Zone.
And I guess to his credit, he kind of, maybe he also knows that that's like what's coming. And so I got to plan my escape route while I still can.
He definitely made a mistake not escaping earlier. Like, he's got to know that it's coming up. Like, I don't think he's just sitting there like, oh, when are we going
to
do
this drone
thing?
Well, he was waiting for Simone to get back so they could go together.
I guess
he
truly loves her.
Yeah, but when Simone comes back, they're going to have the device. And they're going to hook that device up to the computer, and they're going to execute the plan. Like, there's no time between Simone gets back and he can leave.
Yeah, but when it's true love, you know, you have to do it.
Yeah.
So Margo knows about what's going on, and then she... You know, Simone comes back to see Naveen, and he's all like, oh, yeah, you know, the milk delivery is happening or whatever. We got to go. And, like, Margo just rolls in behind her, and, like, Naveen immediately knows what's going on. And so it was kind of, I guess it was kind of obvious that Margo might, you know, try to, you know, threaten Simone to get Naveen to do what he wants. But she escalated that much quicker than I expected, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, that was, I feel like that was real taken to the edge. And, like, Catelyn Stark has definitely lost some cred with Simone now. Like, Simone is definitely not on her side.
What
right
do you
now.
Mean? Of course she's lost cred. Like, she straight cut her finger off.
I know. I'm just saying it might be a mistake. I don't know. Like, I feel like that's going to come to Margot's downfall.
I don't know.
Like, not getting Simone on her page.
I mean, like, I feel like Simone's role is kind of done. Like, her role was to get that device and bring it in. And then, really, they just need Naveed to kind of pilot. But, like, I think that her role is kind of done.
Yeah. Kat thinks Simone is super expendable.
No, I agree with you. Margot thinks that she's done with the plan. She's not really needed anymore. But, like, she's still in the house. And she still can cause problems. I feel like that's going to be one of the... That's going to come up.
Yeah, but Margot's smarter than that. She can just lock that girl up in the room with her stubby finger. And, like...
I did like that Simone kept saying, oh, don't hurt Naveen. I don't want you to hurt Naveen. And Kat Stark was just like, oh, I'll do what it takes. Don't worry.
Oh, no.
Then it was
foreshadowing.
Like, yeah, it was like, I don't need to hurt Naveen. You know who I'm going to hurt. No, you don't.
Oh, no. That was the speed at which that whole thing occurred was just impressive. Like, it was just so decisive. Like, there was no hesitation.
That's not the first time Margot has had someone's finger cut off. Because clearly this was like a maneuver she's pulled before and knew how it was going to go down.
Absolutely.
I mean, does this need to be the first thing they try, though? Like, cutting off someone's finger is like... real permanent.
I don't know. In Kat's defense, it worked pretty effectively. Like, one finger, and she's like, do another one. And Naveen's like, okay, we're good. Like, that was real quick.
Yo, why can't you just get that bucket and a rat and, like, heat up the bucket? Like, that's just like...
Which movie is that from?
That's from Game of Thrones.
Oh, shit, yeah. Is it Game of Thrones?
And it's also from...
No, it's from another movie.
It's also in another movie. It was also in Game of Thrones.
Which movie is that, though?
I think that's a historical, like, way to torture people. Like,
I'm just saying.
I think in the 1500s, like, they were actually doing that, which is kind of hard to believe, but yeah.
Yeah.
So somebody says that they're about to go like medieval on someone, sort of, that's kind of like.
I'm just saying there's other ways to torture people.
Pulp Fiction was a reference to like strapping rats to people's stomachs.
Yeah.
There's other ways to torture people without like permanent loss of limb.
Is that your preferred way to torture people? How do you like to torture people, Chris?
I mean, that would be a good way.
Let's talk about waterboarding. You're talking about waterboarding?
Some sort of waterboarding.
Are you pro-waterboarding, Chris? Is that what you're saying?
Some sort of mustard gas, maybe? I don't know.
Oh, pro-mustard gas. I did not see that coming.
I feel like it's a lot easier to, you know, chop someone's finger off and, like, acquire the mustard gas and just, like, let me pop you this mustard gas.
It's also
room.
Pretty easy to waterboard somebody, so I don't, like...
Do you know what's
it's not as impactful, though.
Do you know what mustard gas is easier than doing? Acquiring 10 drones.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, they but are. It's the point is not to actually torture her. It's to think that she's being tortured so that Naveed will go in and pilot drones.
She gives zero fucks about anything other than getting this thing done. She does not care about her daughter.
I understand that, yeah. But that's going to be one of her downfalls.
It could be.
That's
Naveen,
all I'm bringing up.
Simone, Robb Stark, they're all going to die if it has to be done to get these drones to fire.
Absolutely. One of my favorite parts of the episode is, you know, this kind of plan that Margot has is super well thought through. And then, like, you know... When they finally kind of have control of the drones and like the device is up and working, she's like, yeah, just find like whatever the 10 drones that have the most like explosives in it are, and just get those. Like, how do they not know like what drones had the most explosives in it were? Like it seems like it was really well planned out. And she's
I
like,
don't think
she's
it matters.
Like, just give me some drones.
Like, it's just like, yeah, just give me some drones. Like, there's drones. I know there's gonna be drones, so just pick them. Like, she doesn't give a fuck.
I guess I've never gone to the supermarket and tried to find some drones, but yeah, I guess I don't know how well do you have to plan the drones. This is like buying horses where you have to like clearly like, you know, vet them very clearly, or is this like going to the supermarket buying some bananas? Like, give me 10 drones that, you know, look pretty good. It's fine.
I mean, it's also kind of weird. I mean, I don't know a lot about military tech, so I'm kind of going out of limb here. Like, it's a little bit weird that the drones kind of all have different like explosive capacity. Like, why isn't that just standardized? Like, why is like this is a drone that has like explosives in it?
Because drones aren't all made at the same time. Like, you make a set of drones. Then you iterate them, make them better, and then you make more drones. So you don't have to get rid of the old drones. You have both.
Seeing that there are multiple generations of drones flying over London, the greater London area.
For sure, there's multiple generations of drones running everywhere.
Well, why are there so many drones that are close to London?
I bet this is the thing. I think next episode they're going to be like, oh, they're 50 minutes from London, so you have the whole episode to try to solve this problem. So it's not actually right over London. They're over, I don't know what. What's like the
this
closest?
They said closest over Europe or whatever.
Sure.
I mean, they did show on the graph. None of them were over London. So that's definitely what's going to happen next week. But there's like multiple plans going on here where Jack is uploading the plans to Chloe, and like that's gonna end like now or in 5 minutes, right?
I guess we gotta get back to Jack. So Jack tries to upload the data, but for some weird techno babble reason, he has to decrypt the data before he uploads it. And he needs to get the data from Adrian, I think the head of WikiLeaks is Adrian.
Adrian, yeah.
To like properly decrypt it, and so that just sort of means Jack has to stay in that room for a real long time while his computer is like, you know, updating the percent one by one.
Yeah, well, which causes conflict because now Jack can't surrender because it's still uploading, so he's gonna try to take out the whole Marine Corps just so that he can keep the upload going.
Yeah, it's kind of your classic, you know, movie or video game sort of scenario. It's like, oh, this thing's going to take 10 minutes to get done. Hold down this location or else, you know, game over.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I mean, he's taking a lot of time. And, like, this is only to prove that drones can be taken over. And the drones now, Margo's just taking over more drones, like, right now.
Hey man, that computer only has a single core processor, so that's going to take a little bit to decrypt.
I mean, it's
that.
Got 4 gigs of RAM, though. I mean,
4 gigs of RAM, that's pretty good. I mean,
it's a single core, though. I like that they threw in the single core. I appreciated that.
I mean, it's got a lot of RAM, though.
It was weird that whatever app they were using kind of threw those diagnostics up for the guys on the other end. That was a little, I don't know.
I mean, when you're super hackers, I mean, like, you do whatever you want.
That's WikiLeaks true. Is a pretty intense organization. They can get a lot of info.
I was actually pretty surprised at Jack's level of technical proficiency. Like, Chloe kind of spat out a bunch of stuff for him to do on that computer, and he was on it. Like, I didn't think he was a good tech guy. Like,
find the USB drive.
No. No. Like she's like, hey, open like a terminal and do whatever. And he was like on it. Like, he knew exactly what she was talking about.
I don't know. Jack did say early in the season that he like intercepted some intel from you know another organization. So I feel like they're trying to up Jack's technical knowledge as the seasons go on, as to like make him more, you know, adept with everything that's going on.
During Jack's 4 years off, he's been taking like, you know, Code Academy classes online and stuff.
Yeah, he was at the University of, what's the capital, Serbia?
Not, I don't know.
I'm putting this on the spot here.
I'm blank on that one.
What are you doing?
I thought that was a great joke, and I totally ruined it. Sorry. But anyway, so what do you think of Adrian? Like, Adrian, you know, clearly screwed Jack over last episode, and then he gives this sort of, you know, decrypting algorithm, and it's, you know, and Chloe even said it, like, is Adrian trying to help or is Adrian trying to hurt? But it seemed like the algorithm was legit. So is Adrian actually trying to help this time or not?
So for me, what it seemed like in this episode is that there's some kind of a relationship between Adrian and Chloe. Like, there's something going on there.
Is there some wiki bones?
I'm not sure.
Do we need a better bone?
Harrison, we need a ruling.
Oh man.
Have Chloe and Adrian been to Pound Town?
I mean, I think there's about a 60% chance they've gone to Pound Town.
Okay.
But you know, it seems like there's a relationship there, and I think he even says, you know, hey, I'm not helping Jack, I'm helping you. Like, he sees that, you know, this is really important to her, that he cares about her, and, like, he's not doing it for Jack or the well-being of the greater London area. It's mostly kind of for Chloe.
I mean, they're really playing it up. It's hard to tell, and so I doubt he's, like, the mole or, like, the guy.
That dude is definitely not the mole. Like, he's just some guy that, like, he's, you know, Julian Assange, whatever,
he's just being a dick. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's just like, you know, all this kind of stuff is just not core to his group's mission, so he's just annoyed that they have to deal with it, I think.
I mean, I feel like he agrees with Margo, though, so, like, there's definitely kind of hints of that in this episode.
I mean, he's definitely, you know, not pro-drone, but I don't think that he's to the point where he's like, hey, to prove a point, like, let's let this terrorist fucking bomb London to prove a point about drones.
I mean, time will tell.
I guess time will tell. When we get to the mole watch segment, I have a new mole theory.
All right, we'll save that for mole.
Right.
I also like that at WikiLeaks we saw Jack's Serbian friend is still just hanging around, but it's not clear exactly what he's doing. So I hope he's going to come back into play at some point and be relevant.
He's just sitting around the corner playing Worm on his phone. He's just like
he's Candy Crushing. He's got to level 48.
All
he's
right,
real
so
excited.
The last storyline we have here is the CIA.
Oh yeah, we haven't talked about
CIA at all.
Oh, I was real happy that goatee guy made an appearance. He was absent last week, and he's back in the mix. Also, oh man, Someone else should talk about like the bomb that got dropped with like the relationship between Kate and Goatee Guy.
It was actually a relationship, but like Navarro clearly implied that Goatee Guy wants to go to Pound Town with Kate, but like were they implying that they've been to Pound Town, or was it just a Goatee Guy wants to go there and is blinded by his lust?
I mean, like, I feel like, you know, like he wants to go to Pound Town. He hasn't bought the ticket yet, but I feel like he really wants to get there.
Yeah, I mean, there's clearly some sort of lust going on in this relationship. One way, it could be both ways. I don't know. I feel like she's probably using him to do things for him, which is more likely than anything.
He was really eager to do whatever she said in the first episode.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they'll elaborate, but I don't know. It just seems weird to bring it up. Like, it provides more motivation for the character, which is great. Because, like, why are you helping her? What's going on? She's leaving. What are you doing? But now we actually know why. So, I mean, maybe that's why they added the scene in.
Yeah, I mean, like, that dude has, like, no personality. He's, like, that dude's just, like, a plant. Like we don't know anything about him. He has no personality at all.
Yeah. So, I guess, sort of quickly recap the CIA thing. Kate and Eric are going through the embassy, but they're like 10 steps behind Jack for whatever reason the whole way through. Like, they get to Lieutenant Tanner's room, like, you know, 10 minutes after Jack was there and all sorts of things. But towards the end, Kate starts to believe that what Jack is saying is the truth, and she wants to sneak into the room to sort of try to get Jack on her side before the Marines go in and kill him.
And then, you know, I'm also not an expert on kind of how taking somebody into custody works, but, like, when, you know, Kate kind of pops into that room and, you know, gets the flight key from Jack and is kind of, like, sort of pinning him down on the ground, like, the military rolls in, and, like, for some reason, the military is no longer in control of that operation. Like, she has him pinned on the ground, like he's in CIA custody now. Like, it's kind of like a, you know, hey, I got here first, he's my prisoner sort of situation.
Well, I guess the order was, if you see a threat, shoot it. If you see Bauer, shoot it. But, A, there was no obvious threat, and B, she was kind of in the way.
So, yeah, so the kind of Marine commander, when they're about to breach the room, you know, says to all these guys, like, hey, if you have any reason to shoot that guy, shoot him. And then those guys kind of go, and he kind of whispers to the other guys, like, hey, even if there's not a reason, shoot him. So, like, you know, he clearly wants to kill him, and then I guess kind of Kate sort of saves his life by, you know, taking him into custody first.
I mean, it would have been cool to see the firefight. I don't think it would have been that easy to kill Jack Bauer. Like, that would have been a great scene.
Yeah, I mean, it was, you know, he's for sure at a disadvantage. You know, there's a whole Marine squad with body armor and, you know, automatic weapons, and he's kind of behind, like, a wood table with a pistol. Like, so he's definitely in a bad situation. But as we know, you know, if you think that Jack Bauer is outnumbered, like, he's not. So,
of course. I mean,
he told us that, like, a couple episodes ago.
He did.
Literally.
All right. So, anything else we want to talk about in the actual episode?
I don't know. Maybe we should move on to the Kill of the Week.
Yeah, I mean, the segment Kill of the Week's kind of it's kind of been a little letdown.
I'm kind of disappointed by the body count this season. It's, you know, there's not enough people dropping. I mean, maybe once kind of, you know, the heat gets hot, it'll.
I feel like there's like a President Obama joke to make there. Like, thanks Obama, no one's dying on 24 anymore.
Yeah.
That was not funny. Don't laugh at that.
I'm going to laugh.
That's not.
Laugh
that's
Harrison
funny.
Laughed. He thought it was funny.
I don't think that
Thank
was
you, Harrison.
Funny.
I did.
That's what I'm telling him not
so,
to laugh.
So I guess our only two candidates for Kill of the Week is Jack shooting a couple Marines in their bulletproof vests. They don't get killed. Or Sansa Simone's finger getting killed off.
I mean, they did show the scene in the bathroom again. Like, I mean, this still could be
the third time
in a row, Kill of the Week.
They're going to milk that scene on the Previously on 24 for the rest of the season.
Is that going to be the last episode's Previously on 24?
I mean, it's a real possibility because you have to set up that whole thing. But yeah, I mean, I think I'm going to have to go with Simone's finger. Like, that was a pretty it was a pretty epic kill right there.
It was very unexpected too.
Like Jack shooting the guys seemed like it was a Kill of the Week at the time, but then when they were like, "Oh, they're clearly not killed. Jack didn't actually try to kill them." That sort of took away from it a bit. Like, in the moment, I was like, "Oh, Jack's like going to another level right now.
Jack's killing US military." Yeah, for sure.
But I guess given that they didn't actually die, maybe Simone's finger is the winner.
I think Simone's finger wins just because it was definitely unexpected. There was no hints. There was like little hints, but like you didn't know like her fingers was going to be chopped off. Like you knew
that
something was
escalated quickly.
It very escalated very fast.
That was the best scene of the episode. Like it was outstanding. Like it was fantastic. So I think that kind of killed the week. All right, let's talk about mole hunt, mole watch right yeah. now.
All right, Harrison, you had a theory. Did you want to share it, or did you want other people to go first?
Yeah, I mean, I can share. Like, it's not super developed. Like, I think that my kind of new working theory is that the mole is probably Navarro.
Mm.
Oh, Navarro, head of CIA London. It just seems like, you know, he makes a lot of bad decisions that sort of hinder the operation, and he kind of justifies it by saying like, oh, I'm just being objective, or oh, I'm just being kind of logical and looking at the facts. And like, I think that, you know, that might not be the case. You know, he kind of knows what's going on, and he's kind of intentionally interfering with the operation. You know, it's not kind of a super elaborate theory right now, but I feel like I'm just getting some mole vibes from Navarro, I think.
I mean, he is like a one-sided character. He doesn't have any motivations, or like, we don't really know what he's doing or why. Like, it's just like, oh, he's head of CIA. He's good. You got to do what I say. Like, that's
yeah,
all.
Yeah, he's just some guy who's really like, know. Seems to be kind of bad at his job right now.
I hadn't really thought about that, but like, I kind of like that as a theory because like Benjamin Bratt is actually like a kind of famous actor, and his character, like you guys have said, is super one-dimensional so far. So maybe they're saving some sort of revelation for down the road, and that could be what's going on. So I do kind of think that's a pretty nice theory.
So you think that Benjamin Bratt's acting chops are kind of wasted on this one-dimensional CIA director right now?
I'm not trying to say anything one way or another on Benjamin Bratt's acting chops, but like this has happened to me before where you're watching some movie or TV show, and you're like, that guy is super famous, and he's not really being util. So here, I'll give an example. So spoiler alert for the Get Smart movie, The Rock is a
how dare you spoil the Get Smart movie?
Sorry, if you really want to see the Get Smart movie, you should probably stop listening right now. But The Rock is an agent in the Get Smart movie, but like his character seems super one dimensional and not really useful. And I actually thought as I was watching the Get Smart movie. At some point, I bet The Rock is the bad guy because that's why they got The Rock to be this character. And that explains why they have this actor who's in this character even though he seems to be doing nothing. And I was actually right. So I'm picking a situation where I was
movie.
Correct.
What's going on? I don't
you know. Got the spoiler, Chris. You could have ended the podcast, but you're the host, remember? Uh-huh. But you decided to keep going. So like, I feel like this happened before where you can sort of be based on how famous people are. And like, I would say The Rock is more famous than Benjamin Bratt right
would
now.
Would you? I don't know.
I would. So, you know, it's not exactly the same situation, but, you know, I do. I'm trying to give you some props. I think that's like a nice theory that
Thank you.
That we should keep in mind.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited would you be if The Rock made an appearance in this season of 24?
24 out of 10.
24 out of 10. That's pretty good.
Nice scale. I'm going to go with, I think, Mark. The president's chief of staff is I think he's still top of the mole hunt.
There's no chance. I mean, Ali, I want to hear your theory, like, but there's
that. I still like he's acting shady. He's always acting shady, and like his motivations are Jack is a terrorist. And like,
here's the thing about that guy. Like, I'm not like we don't really have context on him kind of prior to this particular day, but like. It seems like he's acting shady and nervous and kind of withholding information because he doesn't want to tell people that Jack is back, right? Because he's nervous about that Pound Town situation, if we're being honest. So, like, he's nervous that he's
correctly nervous.
Obviously, correctly nervous. So he's worried that Jack's gonna come and blow up his marriage. So he's just not willing to kind of play that game.
I mean, the CIA director reports directly to him. So, like, I mean, if he's the mole. And then he's talking to the CIA director, which you've already said is probably the mole as well. I mean, we could be leading up the chain.
Sure. I mean, maybe. I don't know. I'm a little bit skeptical of the Mark being a mole kind of theory here.
I mean, You know, I'm just throwing ideas out there.
I mean, I'm just saying, you know, if I was in Mark's position and my wife, you know, her ex-boyfriend is Jack Bauer, like, and he resurfaces, I'm nervous about that situation because
it's game over.
It's game over. Like, you can't compete in that situation. You just can't.
He's the chief of staff. How do you not like...
He's Jack Bauer.
Have you heard of this guy named Jack Bauer, Chris?
I mean, he's apparently not as famous as I think he is, so like...
I guess. But
Audrey knows who he is. Intimately, if you know what I mean.
No, I understand that. I mean, I'm just still throwing him out there. I mean, we talked about this already. And I don't think he's exempted himself from being top of the mall hunt this week.
All right. So last week I had a pretty in-depth Kate mole theory. So I was watching Kate really closely this week, and really nothing she did seemed mole-like the whole episode, except at the very end, technically she managed to stop Jack from uploading to WikiLeaks what was going on. So even though it seemed like it was going to happen anyway and Jack was out for the count, she did stop the upload, and she is now in possession of the information. So I'm going to say the Kate theory is still alive, even though mostly this week was not really a banner week for Kate as the mole as a winning theory.
She definitely did a lot to help her case when she finally told Eric that she finally told Eric that Jack Bauer had that discussion with her like a couple episodes ago about, you know, the plot that he was aware of.
And when Navarro was all like, yeah, let's let the Marines go in and kill Jack Bauer, it's cool. She was like, no, we can't let them kill Jack Bauer. And, you know, if she was really the mole, you know, probably killing Jack Bauer
that, the motivation for that is completely different. It's because she doesn't want Jack Bauer to upload the data to WikiLeaks. So that's why she has to go in and stop it.
She wants the data for herself.
Although maybe she's the mole, but she also wants to go to Pound Town.
Oh, man. You're bringing a whole other dimension here.
So, you know, she can't have him be killed, but she's got to take control of the data.
That's true. That is true.
Yeah, I don't know if the Pound Town is really involved with this.
You don't, Chris, honestly, do you want to go to Pound Town with Jack Bauer? Tell us right now.
Ooh, good question.
Is it like a threesome thing or just me and him?
What would
you want?
I mean, if there's another girl involved, sure. I mean,
there's not another girl involved because you and Jack Bauer are. I guess Jack Bauer
I'm
is not a girl.
I'm not
admit
anything on this podcast.
So
Jack Bauer.
So you're talking about you and Jack Bauer double teaming some girl is what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I'm in for
is
that.
Is it any girl or like does it got to be Kat Stark?
Whoa.
I mean, now Margo. Yeah. I mean, let's just get off this comment. Whatever. Would you? One-on-one with Jack Bauer, is that your MO?
I love America, so obviously I would.
If there's the opportunity, if the opportunity presents itself.
But, no.
If Jack Bauer wants to do it, it's obviously a matter of national security.
What about Kiefer Sutherland?
Kiefer Sutherland's Canadian, so that's even better.
All right, so I think that's the end.
On that note.
For the DPPL this week. You can follow us on Twitter at TheDPPL, and we're on Facebook.com/TheDPPL. And you can follow me at CLorenz2. Rob, you want to plug anything?
You can follow me at RobKitts.
And I'm at Harrison Hoffman on Twitter.
And we'll see you guys next week for an awesome episode of 24.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.